somebody like Alvin Bragg in New York. And frankly, I'm afraid, I'm just giving you my reading, I may be wrong, Merrick Garland, who investigated up the wazoo. Oh, look at this, look at that. Then they will say we reviewed hundreds of thousands of documents, thousands of pages of testimony, thousands of pages of testimony. But we have to say that, quote, I don't think that we could convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt, end quote, or quote, it's not certain that we could convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt, end quote. Well, duh, that's up to the jury. Anticipating as a defense to chicken out what you think they might do is wrong. Alvin Bragg in New York had Trump on the ropes. Cyrus Vance, the DA, had set up a grand jury. They came back with evidence. Pomerantz and another guy, two of the best prosecutors in New York, were all set to prosecute him. Alvin Bragg came in. I personally think that somebody got to Alvin Bragg. I think that there should be a grand jury investigation of that DA. In any event, he said, well, I just don't think we could win it, that we could convince them. Hey, look, nobody has a crystal ball. If you think you know who's going to win the Super Bowl, you're wrong. Yeah, there's a betting line, but things happen. First of all, Alvin Bragg was just talking trash. Most people, including myself, looked on that and thought that there was a very good chance he could get a conviction. But secondly, if a prosecutor says that and won't go forward, the average person who's not a lawyer goes, oh, I guess that's right. Well, no, that's not right. Mueller did the same thing on obstruction, and he did the same thing on Russian penetration of our election. You know what he said? He said, my charge was not to look at anything having to do with money. What prosecutor says that? What prosecutor says that? If you are told, investigate whether the Russians did this, and you say, well, I'm not going to see whether they paid him or bribed him, what the hell do you think you were supposed to do? He chickened out. Mueller, by the way, was a Republican. So now we have Garland. Garland's going to go through this. He's already said he won't do anything on prosecution till after the midterms in November. Well, okay, then what happens if the Republicans take the House in November? I hope they don't, but, you know, when we have a Democrat in the White House, there's historical precedent to say they will or might, at least the House. The first thing that Kevin McCarthy will do is to disband the January 6th commission. The second thing he's going to do is set up a commission to investigate Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. He's already said he'll do that. The third thing he will do is set up an impeachment hearing on Joe Biden. He's already said he'll do that. So then you get Thanksgiving, Christmas, and in January, somebody asks Merrick Garland, are you going to prosecute? And he goes, without fear or favor, we'll go wherever. And he'll keep doing that. He'll keep doing that. It gets stale. And then ultimately he'll say, it was terrible what happened. I think he did it, but I'm not sure that I could convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt. When prosecutors say that, anticipating a possibly adverse verdict, when there are dead bodies all over the landscape in terms of evidence, and you've seen them on TV in the commission hearings, all that's saying is, I'm chicken. If you look at Merrick Garland's face and demeanor in these interviews, I have no confidence. Now, could I be wrong? Yes, I could be wrong. And I hope I am wrong, quite frankly. But you want a candid response, Joe? That's my candid response. Alvin Bragg chickened out. Mueller chickened out. I think that Merrick Garland will chicken out. That leaves Fannie Willis. She is magnificent. Fannie Willis is the DA of Fulton County in Georgia, which is Atlanta, and she's taking on Trump on the Raffensperger extortion and the fake electors. Who's taking on anybody over the fake electors? I mean, how about Wisconsin, Michigan? How about Pennsylvania, Arizona? There was just word yesterday, you may have seen a New York Times article, that they were using the word fake electors themselves, the conspirators. They're saying we'll put up some fake electors, and what we'll get Pence then to do is, well, there's a dispute, and then it goes to the governors, and then they will turn it to Trump. They use the term. Where are the prosecutions? Where's even a public statement that we're looking into it? You know, what is happening is the Democratic Party has gotten passive aggressive. And it's not just that the Republican Party is more aggressive, but the Republican Party has engaged in criminal conduct. And we are so unaggressive, we will not stand up to that criminal conduct. That is what's happening. We have some very, very good career prosecutors. And we've seen many of them testify on television. If they were the attorney general and the DA, you know what they would do? Pomerantz and the other guy, top-notch prosecutor in New York, quit. When Alvin Bragg said that, they quit. They would not stay with the office anymore. That is corrupt. It was a corrupt decision. What Mueller did was a corrupt decision. What Merrick Garland will do if he does not prosecute, I think there's a subtext that people have in the back of their mind. I want to address that right now. They say, well, they don't want a civil war. You know, you're going to have many more people like the insurrectionists who will go nuts if Trump is prosecuted. First of all, that's not true. Second of all, we've had civil disturbances in our country throughout its history from time to time. If you think this is bad, go back to 1861, okay? If you think this is bad, go back to 1776. And if you think this is bad, go back to 1941, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and we did not know if we were going to be able to beat the Japanese and the Nazis. So this is not the biggest controversy we've ever had in the country. That said, people out there, you who are not lawyers, have got to understand from a lawyer that you can charge someone criminally on simply a preponderance of the evidence. Now, good prosecutors, ethical ones, and I am very much in that camp of admiration for them, go, okay, but if it's real thin, we won't go forward if we don't think we can prosecute beyond a reasonable doubt. But prosecutors who are weak and chicken are misusing that. It's one thing to say, you know, our only evidence is one eyewitness, but he's lied in the past and he has a motive to lie now. Okay, I get that. But how many commission hearings do you have to watch? How many Cassidy Hutchinsons, really? How many Sarah Matthews? How many tapes of Trump speaking and videotapes? I mean, how many he tweeted out? Pence didn't have the courage when people who were armed were up there looking to hang him. That is not a case where you just have one eyewitness who's lied in the past and has a motive to lie now. That's not that. There are clues all over the landscape. The January 6th Commission has dropped breadcrumbs all over the landscape. If Merrick Garland in the end says it was terrible what happened, but I just don't think that we could convince anybody beyond a reasonable doubt, he should get out. Frankly, I wouldn't be sad right now if he decided to retire, go back to the judiciary, have Trump reappoint him, so he could sort of lie in the weeds and wait to get appointed to the Supreme Court maybe someday, although I doubt that's going to happen. He was nominated once. And put a tough, hard charger who is fair and honest, but doesn't chicken out. Those are my views. Them's my views. I'm sticking to them. Anybody has any comment on that? Happy to hear it. But that is the fact of the matter. So when he says things like, well, I haven't ruled it out. Oh, really? All right. It reminds me of Kavanaugh when he's a question about abortion in his confirmation hearing. I think it was Susan Collins or somebody says to him, whoever it was, said, are you going to overturn Roe v. Wade? And he goes, Roe v. Wade is precedent. Yeah, the Supreme Court has overruled precedent many times. He then got grilled some more, and he was exceptionally duplicitous, and he said, it's not only precedent, it's super precedent. All right, what does that mean? That's because in the Casey, the Pennsylvania case, they doubled down on it and reaffirmed it. So when you have two prior decisions, that's precedent on steroids. But then, you know, there's this little weasel thing. It would take an extraordinary event or something to, well, that happened. In Brown v. Board of Education, which is a good overruling of precedent in 1954, they overruled Plessy v. Ferguson back in the 1890s. that had said that separate but equal is okay. And they said black people could be stuck on a train car in Louisiana at the end of the train. Okay? 1954, the Supreme Court said that was a bad decision. You can't put segregate schools. So that was a good use of overruling precedent. But there have been bad uses, too. And this is a very bad use. So if you are dumb enough to sit there and go, okay, he just told me he wasn't going to overrule Roe v. Wade, don't go in the securities market. If you want to see real fraud, see somebody sell securities. I practice a fair amount of securities law litigation. It's all bad. And when Garland and Mueller and Bragg say things, oh, I'd love to prosecute this guy, but not sure I could make it stick. Get him out of there. Get him out of there. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.